Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, you've heard me talk about the blessing, gosh, for the last 27 years, and, you know, sharing the blessing, and it's great to be blessed, but to have someone on here who has such a unique concept and understanding of the blessing is just awesome, and that's who our guest is today. Richard Brunton was a pioneer of the market research industry back in New Zealand. He co-founded Kalmar Brunton back in 1981, built the business into the country's best-known, most trusted research company. And he started a Better Business, Better World campaign, which was a personal crusade of sorts, teaching others how to create profit by creating purpose, or making money by making meaning. And he believes, with the research to back it up, that organizations that are driven by the big idea of making their customers' lives better will create more shareholder value in the long run than those who focus on other aims. His articles, his speeches, his unique perspectives have been published in various magazines and newspapers all over the world. Richard was inducted into the Marketing Hall of Fame in 2005, became a life member of the Marketing Research Society of New Zealand in 2010. But then, since retiring as the executive chairman of Kalmar Brunton in 2014, he's devoted his time to ministry work and writing. He's written a couple of books, one of which is titled The Awesome Power of the Blessing, which we'll be discussing today. Help me welcome to the program, all the way from down under in New Zealand, Richard Brunton. Richard, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the program and visit with us today.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words who is Richard Brunton?
Well, I'd like to think of myself as a man of God. I like to think of myself as a love machine. So I just go around about the Father's business, releasing His love and His power whenever the opportunity presents itself. So a man of blessing, you might say. I love to bless people. And I've found that that when you speak a blessing over someone else in faith, that you activate the power of God. So that's me in a nutshell. Yes, I'm married. I have a son, and I live here in New Zealand. And we're in lockdown at the moment, so I'm sort of stuck at home for the time being while we beat this COVID thing.
Amen.
But life's good.
Amen. Amen. Now, you start your book of how inspiring the message of the blessing was received. So I guess the first question I want to ask is, why did you put your thoughts and teachings on the blessing into the book, The Awesome Power of the Blessing?
Well, initially, I thought I'll take a risk and print 10,000 simply to share it with people. And just to see what would happen. And today there are 6,030,000 of these little books. Quite amazing, really. So it's touched a nerve. It's a small, quick read. It's in simple language. It's not complex, and it's very action orientated. And I think too, the way I look at things, I look at blessing as being a verb. It's a doing word. A lot of people think of blessing as a noun, you know, something good happens and you've got a blessing. But I'm actually looking at it from the point of view of actually of the verb, I bless you in the name of Jesus kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it started off with a very simple goal, just to share my thoughts. And lo and behold, it's grown into something big. And it's, at the moment, it's growing at 100,000 a week. Praise in terms of orders. Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us about what you discovered in the power of the tongue, as you outline in your book.
Well, it really started in New Caledonia, which is a French territory. And my wife comes from there. So I had to learn to speak a little bit of French because of that. And I was giving a teaching to a prayer group one day on the power of cursing. And I discovered that the French word for cursing was malediction, and the French word for blessing was benediction. Mm. And when I saw that, I thought, now that is really, really interesting, because if you look at the root of it, malediction or cursing is bad speaking. And by contrast, benediction was good speaking. Now, there is actually a word malediction in the English dictionary, but I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and it means cursing. It means cursing.
Amen.
So bad speaking versus good speaking. And I knew that cursing was powerful. Like in some countries, if the witch doctor curses you, you can get very sick and die. And I asked myself, could I speak blessing over people with impact, but for good? So as the witch doctor effectively is speaking in the name of Satan, I suppose, and releasing power, could I do good speaking or blessing over somebody with an impact for good, particularly in the name of Jesus? And the Bible, of course, says that we speak words of life, or we speak words of death, or we release heaven or hell, if you like, with our tongue, is another way of putting it. So you could say that very simply that cursing is speaking words of death, which includes, you know, criticism, discouragement, all that kind of thing. And blessing is speaking words of life. And the interesting thing is that this is true in the natural as well as in the supernatural. So in the natural, for example, you don't have to be a Christian, but you could say to your son, you're a useless fellow, you won't amount to anything, and you've just cursed him, and that'll follow him through his life. Mm-hmm. Or you could say, son, that's a clever little hut you built in the backyard. I think you could be a great architect one day, or something like that. And you've just spoken words of encouragement, words of life, which will also follow him. So it worked. So what the Bible says about words of life and death is true in the natural, but it's also true in the supernatural. Just as the witch doctor is doing his thing, I have found that I can speak God's intentions, his favor, his agenda, if you like, over someone or some situation in the name of Jesus, and expect that the kingdom of heaven will come behind what I'm saying in order to perform it. So as long as I'm speaking God's purposes, his will, his agenda, if you like, over someone or some situation, he will perform it.
Yeah.
And I have discovered that. And I've discovered that when I speak blessing over someone, that there's a release of love and there's a release of power. And normally I'm conscious of it as well. And I've seen the most amazing things, and I hear the most amazing stories as a result of doing this. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Like it works.
Amen. Go figure, right? Amen. In your book, you describe how we're called to be a blessing, and we're called to be God's blessers on this earth. And you recommend we don't just ask someone if we can pray for them. You say, can I bless you? Explain that for us. I found that one phrase quite interesting.
Well, there's a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of things in there. You know, when we pray for somebody, we're speaking to God on someone's behalf. When we bless, we're speaking to someone or to a situation on God's behalf. And usually prayer and blessing would be complementary. But sometimes I think blessing needs to replace prayer. Like, for example, very often we ask God to move a mountain in our lives, and God has said, well, actually, I've told you to speak to the mountain. Why are you asking me to do something that I've already told you to do?
Yeah.
And so you see, if you're in the healing ministry, for example, it's far more effective to speak to a condition and command it to go in the name of Jesus than it is to ask God to do it.
Yeah.
And likewise, if you're confronting a demon, it's far more effective to speak to the demon and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. We don't ask God to do that. We do it. And it's the same thing with blessing. So instead of asking God to bless someone, which is what most people do, God bless you, it's very, very common. Instead of asking God to bless someone, we can bless them. I can say, I bless you, Bob, in the name of Jesus. And then I can go on and speak other things that I believe that God wants to release over you. And so that's the first thing I would say. And then to answer your question more directly, a lot of people are a bit allergic to having to ask, particularly non-Christians, of course, I'm talking about. If you meet somebody who's not a believer, and it seems to be much more acceptable to say, may I speak a blessing over you, rather than can I pray for you? And so, so that's the short answer to your question.
Amen. In your book, you share that the words we use, especially in speaking to others, should be God's words, and his words should be our words. But we can only know his words if we're familiar with his word, the Bible, right? Correct? So you got to be in the Bible in order to actually speak a blessing over someone, right?
Yes. I think a blessing is being speaking God's intentions or favor, or both really, over someone, or releasing that in some situation. And so we have to know what it's, and we know God's general intentions from the Bible. Like, for example, if you're depressed, you know that he wants you to know his joy. And if you're restless and anxious, we know from the Bible that he wants you to know his peace. And generally, if you're sick, you know that God wants to heal you. So we've got God's general intentions there. And that's the safest thing to do. I usually start that way. And then if I get into a Holy Spirit flow, then God might give me something more specific, like you start to move into the prophetic and speak a word of encouragement that's come from God. So, but yes, if you don't know God through, if you don't know the Bible, you're going to be a bit stuck. You really can't do this, I think. Effectively, Amen. Unless you're a spirit-filled Christian, like, you know, I'm talking about the real deal,
right?
Not a nominal Christian, but a spirit-filled Christian who knows his God and knows his Bible,
and walks in the spiritual authority in and through Christ. As a matter of fact, explain how all that relates, our spiritual authority.
Let me tell you an interesting story. You know, many years ago when I was in business. Many years ago, how long ago would that be? About 7 years ago, I suppose, when I retired. And I would go into my office and wanting to bless the company. And the company was called Colmar Brunton Research. And I would go in there and I would say, God bless Colmar Brunton. And I'd say, you know, other good things over the company. But nothing really seemed to happen. And then one day, I don't know what provoked it now, but I said, I took a risk. I was quite scared, actually, to do this. I liked him, but I could get the, you know. But I said, Colmar Brunton, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I bless you. And the moment I did that, the anointing just fell on me. Mm. It was amazing, really. And I've done it hundreds of times since, you know, probably more than hundreds of times. And I nearly always felt that same anointing on me. It's like God was saying to me, yes, Richard, you've got it. You've got it, son. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to ask me to bless the company. I want you to do it. I've given you the authority to do it.
Amen.
I want you to do it in the name, because the authority is in the name of Jesus, not in your name. It's in the name of Jesus. And a couple of times prior to that, I felt God say to me, you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Or if you only knew the authority you have in Christ Jesus, you could change either the world or your world. Probably both, really, in a way, but certainly your world. You could change your world. You could change that part of the world that you have influence in. you could change that part of the world where you have jurisdiction, which is an interesting word, by the way, talking about diction, because now we've moved into jurisdiction. There's now the legal right to speak over the territory that God has assigned to you. So in my business, you see, that was my territory, that was my jurisdiction, and I had legal right to speak and to declare God's purposes over the business. And so that was a real lesson to me, because I think so many Christians don't actually realize the authority that's been delegated to them. You know, when you think about it, Jesus had these 12 disciples, and he sends them out to heal the sick, cast out demons in his name. And they came back successful. And then later on, he sent out the 70. And they came back all excited. And after Jesus sort of hosed them off a bit, he said, the Bible says that in the, he rejoiced in that very hour. And I think he rejoiced because his apprentices had got it, you know. and now he sends out the church. Now he's sending out the church in the same way, in authority, in his name, to do the same thing. The mandate hasn't changed.
Amen.
And
that same, that same, as you blessed the business, that same authority can be applied to physical objects like chairs and desks, as you pray for workers who are facing certain things as well, right? Can you share a couple of examples like that?
Well, yes, I, in my office environment, because I used to go in there early to do this before anyone else got there. And where a need came to mind, or I knew of a need, I would lay hands on the chair that person would sit in, believing that in the same way that power passed from Paul into handkerchiefs, that power would, or the anointing would go into the leather on the chair or whatever the material was, and that when someone sat on it, that something was going to be imparted to them. And I would do that. And one particular guy was a habitual blasphemer. And one day I decided that I had enough of that. So I put my hands on his chair and I bound the operation of that spirit, at least in my workplace. I wasn't going to have it. I decided that I was in charge around here spiritually, and that was not going to be permitted. That was not in my jurisdiction, you understand.
Amen.
This is my jurisdiction. I'm in charge here. That spirit does not have permission to operate in my jurisdiction. And so I bound that spirit. Now, I have to admit, I did it several times before it took effect, but that person no longer blasphemed in my place, you know. And I think that just imagine this now, you know. You know, you could be a high school student, for example, and the school that you go to is your jurisdiction, and you have the authority to bind and to loose. You have the authority to disallow and the authority to allow. So you could actually, when you go into that school, you could say, in the name of Jesus, I bind all bullying in the school. I bind all disruptive elements and. I bind the use of drugs and pornography and all the different things that you don't want to be happening in your jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And then you can loose the kingdom of God there.
Amen.
And there's no reason why someone can't do that in your workplace or your school is a workplace. In fact, just to tell you another interesting example of this, I got a testimony some months ago now about a school teacher who in his class there were a lot of disruptive boys who come out of solo parent, solo mum homes, you see. And they were rebellious, basically. And he would go in there early and he would bless his classroom. I don't know exactly what he might have said, but he might have said, you know, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of rebellion that's in this place. And I release the kingdom of God here. I release the kingdom of God in my classroom. I release peace. I release a hunger to learn. in the name of Jesus, or something like that. I don't know what he said because he didn't tell me, but it could have been something like that. But he's using his authority. See, he's releasing the kingdom of God in his classroom in quite a specific way. He's also releasing, in the name of Jesus, a hunger to learn. He's releasing peace in his classroom in the name of Jesus. He's blessing his classroom. And he wrote and said to me, within a week, the whole situation had changed.
Wow. Amen.
Just like that. That is That's the awesome. Power Amen. Of blessing. And yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, that, so we're to bless, we need to be blessing others then by declaring God's will, which is his word, over the person, over their life. And we do this simply by declaring God's intentions over this other person?
Yes. I mean, look, what I've found is that there's a lot of different kinds of situations. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, God says, well, it's Peter writing, but Peter said, don't return reviling for reviling or cursing for cursing, but instead bless, because this is what you are called to do, and you will inherit the blessing. So so that is a situation where you're called to bless your enemies. You're called to do that. And a lot of people, they stop at simply forgiveness. They don't go the next step. You know, it's one thing, like it's a bit like when you're angry with someone who's hurt you and you forgive them, you've moved from being an overdraft sort of to zero kind of thing. But when you bless them, when you actually want to wring their neck, you know, you're actually going to release something beautiful in their life. That is a big extra step. That's putting something in the account now, but that's where the power is. And I've found that often people can get physically healed as well as emotionally healed when they forgive, but more than forgive, they bless as well.
Yeah.
And it's in the blessing. Yeah. And, I could tell lots of stories about that. So that is a situation where it's a particular kind of speaking. It's a blessing someone who's hurt you. But then there's also, and we've just talked about blessing your workplace, but there's blessing your wife and your children, or your spouse and your children. And I have found that, well, there's so much to this area, blessing your body even, you know, stop cursing ourselves and begin to bless ourselves. But that's a whole other thing. But the biggest thing, that the most astounding thing for me anyway, has been blessing children. And we were all children once. And what I have found is that about 95% of adults have never had their father lay hands on them and bless them, which is an amazing thing, but it's strongly mandated in Scripture, but it's not happening, even in Christian homes.
Yeah, it's true.
So what I do is I say to somebody or to a church or whatever situation I'm in, would you allow me to stand in the place of your father, like a standing in the gap, if you like, or just being a substitute temporarily, so that I can speak a blessing over you, speak a father's blessing over you, so in other words, I'm offering myself as a channel through which God can give you the blessing that you missed out on. And I have done that, I don't know, probably thousands of times really. And people often weep.
Yeah. I know, you know, in the Bible, you know, Jacob deceived Isaac to receive the blessing, and his brother was distraught because the blessing was supposed to have been his. And this day and time, it's rare, like you said, that a father would bless his children. And is that something that needs to be taught in the churches, to reinstitute it back into our culture today? Because it seems like, you know, well, that was the old days when you used to bless the kids before you died and stuff like that. But, I mean, it doesn't have to wait until you're on your deathbed.
Well, you know, the Jewish people, of course, they still do this. They have a regular pattern of doing that. If I could just quote you from Derek Prince, which I just have sitting here. he says this, and I'm just reading it. He said, "Let me say that, second to the blessing of God himself, the most desired blessing is one given by a father or grandfather. And I would say to anyone, especially younger people, by any means possible, obtain your father's blessing on whatever you do." Isn't that interesting? So that's coming from a great man of God, as you know. But I found this, and I was inspired, by the way, to do this by Frank Hammond. I don't know if you know Frank Hammond, but he wrote Pigs in the Parlor and a number of those books on deliverance. But he also wrote a little book on the father's blessing. Mm. And I read that, and I decided to put it into practice, which is quite a scary thing because you're standing in front of a big audience or just one-on-one, and you're just saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit, "I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Just love you. I'm proud of you," this kind of thing. "And please forgive me," this sort of thing. And the Holy Spirit just comes on the person. It's the most amazing thing. And but that was God's way of imparting to people, you know, health and prosperity and all peace and joy and love and all those sorts of things. That's what God always intended, that it be channeled through the fathers. And when it doesn't happen, there's this void, and people try and fill that void, as you know, with all kinds of things.
Yeah. Amen.
So it's been the biggest, you know, just to give you a couple of examples, if I may, but there was a pastor in Brazil who never knew his father, and with the help of a translator, I spoke the father's blessing over him. And from the moment, really from the moment I opened my mouth, he just cried and cried. I've never seen so many tears come out of a man. And I was in a conference one day, and the lady said, there was a Chinese lady sitting next to me. She was positioned there by the usher. And I said to her, "What do you do?" Because I always do that, hoping that eventually they'll ask me what I do. So she told me, and then she did ask me eventually. And I said, "I'm an author," or sometimes I change my story depending on what I want to do. And I gave her one of my little books. And while we were waiting for the speaker of the conference, she flicked through the book. And then she turned to me, a complete stranger, and said, "Would you bless me?" And I said to her, "Did your father ever lay hands on you and bless you?" And she said, "No." "Would you allow me to speak a father's blessing over you in his place so that you can receive the blessing from God that he always wanted you to have?" And she said, "Yes."
Amen.
"May I lay my hand on you?" She said, "Yes." And, you know, once again, from the moment I really opened my mouth, she just cried and cried and cried. And then 2 weeks later, I got an email from her, and she said, "Remember me, I'm the Chinese girl that sat next to you." She wasn't a girl, she was a woman. She said, "I want to tell you why I cried." She said, my father did things to me that no father should ever do to his daughter."
Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this interview with Richard Brunton. The good news is this is just part one of a great two-part interview. But his book, The Awesome Power of the Blessing, is an absolute must-have for your reading list. The information in this book will answer some questions you may have about the blessing. It may even spark you in an area of faith and believing God for the blessing that you never even thought of. Be sure to go down to the show notes, click the links there to order your book, The Awesome Power of the Blessing, and also to reach out to Richard Brunton and check out his website and all that he has going on there. And don't forget to come back for the next episode, as we will be concluding this great interview with Richard Brunton. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting.
Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.